I welcome back each and every one of you, and I'm sure that Facebook has now been rectified. And once again, regardless of where you're joining us from, this is Radio Biafra. This is a very special address from myself, Nnamdi Kanu, the leader of IPOB all over the world. As I was saying before we were rudely interrupted by technical difficulties, I must welcome each and every one of you back again. I was talking about what it means to be IPOB. And why we must stay this very course. Because a lot of things happened whilst I was away. Some people fell by the wayside. Some people felt that perhaps the zoo has something to offer them. And some people collaborated with the enemy, not just to kill us, but to attempt to set the clock of restoration backwards. But thanks to the grace and mercy of the Most High Chukwuka Abiyama, they did not succeed. Once again, I welcome each and every one of you, and especially those of you that have been working exceptionally hard to make sure that we stayed on this very course towards our restoration. A lot has happened. When I think about it, sometimes it brings tears to my eyes. Surprisingly and shockingly, not a lot of people were up to this very job, which is rather extremely sad. Being an IPOB is a very unique privilege. A very unique privilege. For you to be an IPOB family member is a rare honor. When we call each other Umu Chineke or Nwa Chineke, it is a very unique privilege, not an entitlement. Only the pure at heart can be called Nwa Chineke. Not everybody you meet on the street is entitled to be called that very name. IPOB is a very special breed of people. We have come that we may restore Biafra, and there is nothing the zoo and their allies can do about it. We remain the bravest of the very brave. Cowards run away when they see us. From the day I arrived in the zoo exactly 4 years ago, minus 1 week, because I arrived in the zoo on the 14th of October in the year of our Lord, 2015. I told them that I was coming, and I came. Some people within some segments of the media were writing a whole lot of junk about us, that we are just on Facebook, that I'm in London. They dared me to come back, and I told them that I was coming home, and I did come home. When I arrived, I was arrested. I was taken to Abuja. I was confined to a very tiny space. I was chained like a common criminal. I was handcuffed. They tried to break me, but they know that that is impossible. They can attest to it. They mocked me that I will rot in jail. Some prayed very fervently, those who are against Biafra, agents of darkness, that I should die in jail. But the walls of prison and detention couldn't keep me. I told Jibril, now, or should I say Buhari before he died and was buried in Saudi Arabia, that he was a madman. I called him a madman in his own court because I know that he cannot do anything about it. Chukwuka Abiyama sent me and not man. So there is nothing any human being can do to me or to the wider body of IPOB for that matter. I told the court of Bintan Yako that they cannot jail me, and they did not. I called the dead Buhari, an illiterate madman in his own court, and I walked away. I cannot recall anybody being able to do so in the history of the damnable zoological republic. With very few and notable exceptions, men like Femi Fani-Kayode, who is very dear to me, and also the ex-governor of Ekiti State, Ayofayoshe. The two men I respect very much, I must say, from the West. There is no other human being that has been able to rise up to challenge the murderous tendencies of the late Buhari. Buhari died because he dared to touch me. And I must warn everybody, especially those who are harboring ill will towards me, that what happened to Buhari will also happen to them. Buhari was replaced with a man, that very thing from Sudan, Jibril. A very special program is coming up next month where I will completely and totally unmask Jibril. Complete and total. With DNA evidence and forensic pictorial evidence, it will be clear to the whole world that the person in Aswa Rock is fake. Jibril. They are trying to use INEC disqualification to bar him from contesting so he can run back to Sudan. That is not going to happen. I won't let them. He will contest. And the zoo will crumble with him. They know this. That's why they're running helter-skelter, claiming he doesn't have a certificate. As if they never knew. Since 4 years ago, that man that is now dead and buried in Saudi Arabia is a stark and compound illiterate. The very worst kind. An evil genocidist who is now decayed and only skeletal in the grave. That shall befall anybody that rises against IPOB. And they know it. They mocked me after I came out of prison. Even those that I'm older than, even the age mates of my first son, Nemeka, maybe because of the way I look, they will say, what these young men are doing. Apart from maybe four or five people in Ohanaeze, I am older than every other Ohanaeze executive member. But when you hear them talk about me and IPOB, you think we are a bunch of teenagers. I don't blame them. They are a product of a dysfunctional system. They gave me very stringent bail conditions. I hope IPOB family members are listening very quietly, because what I have to tell you is extremely important. So you must pay attention. They gave me the bail conditions so that I wouldn't speak, so that I cannot rally, to muzzle me, so that I'll just be in my father's house and then go to court once in a while. The same thing they did to the now estate developer in Owerri. I told them, no, you cannot cage me. You cannot muzzle me. It's not possible. I went out and I defied every stupid restriction placed on my person so that IPOB can be alive and our restoration of Biafra well on course. The powers that be didn't like it. Their Igbo collaborators did not like it. Some of them in government houses did not like it. Ohanaeze didn't like it because I said no to voting in Anambra. And I have my reasons and I'll go to that later. Obiano said I shouldn't come to Ekwulọbịa, that he will kill me with the zoo army. We broke Ekwulọbịa. Dave Umar, he said I shouldn't come to Ebonyi. I went to Ebonyi with the longest convoy in history. As I was entering Abakaliki, part of our convoy was still in Enugu. We broke the cordon. 6 fortified military checkpoints I got down from my vehicle and I walked through all of them. I dared them to shoot me. We went into Abakaliki and we shot Abakaliki down. When we got to the front of the government house, I asked my driver to stop so I can greet some of the people working for Dave Umahi to let them know that Ebonyi is Biafra. After our rally, on my way out of Abakaliki, they stopped me again and asked me to turn around, and I told them that it would not happen. We broke that very cordon too, and we got home safely that very evening. I went to Obibo. In Iguacha, we locked Iguacha down for 6 hours. There was no movement. Yes, and Wike did not ask Ami to kill me. He never tried to intimidate me nor to molest me. We rallied peacefully as we normally do. And we went back home. Ohanaeze Ndigbo and Igbo governors got together and said, this cannot continue. That Nnamdi Kanu is heating up the polity. They decided to kill me. It was these men that physically applied to Asarok to have me killed. They couldn't do it. After all, Buhari was dead, buried in Saudi Arabia. They had to do something very quickly. At the expiration of the 103 days of his shambolic medical trip to London, they sent that thing from Sudan, Jibril, to come back, to spearhead the attack against me. The person controlling that very project is a man that some of you know as Abba Kyari. I understand we are still having some difficulties. Is that correct? No, they said the volume is a bit too high. I don't know if that is correct. They must let us know if it is better now. If it's better now. You know, it's been a while, so I'm having to do all the technical work myself. It's been about 4 years. So you must bear with me. You must bear with me. I do apologize for any shortcomings in our technical output this very evening. When Jibril came back, a lot of Igbo men that call themselves politicians and political leaders arranged for me to be assassinated. They pleaded and pleaded and pleaded. Because our 30th of May celebration, our sit at home last year, was successful. That led those Alamajiri youths, I don't know where they got them from, to issue a quit notice at the instigation of Arewa Consultative Forum. Our people must listen very carefully. Arewa Consultative Forum pressured Niamud and Ohanaeze and Southeast governors to do something about me. When they talk about me, they don't tell you the truth. I was the one that went to Wodo's house when he was in the USA to look for him, to greet him. I went with Evangelist Eliot Uko. I went back again when he returned. And we had very sumptuous lunch together. And I told him that this is what I stand for. I want Biafra. Because of all the maltreatment, because of all the humiliation, because of all the shame that Nigeria over the years have compelled us to go through as a people, that I cannot take it anymore. I want to be free and I want to die a free man. He asked me, what do I intend to do? And I told him, most respectfully, that I will engage in civil disobedience. I will boycott every boycottable until the zoo accedes to my demand for a referendum. That I won't fight anybody. He said it's okay, but I should consider an umbrella election. I told him no. We've been voting since 1953, if I'm not mistaken. What has come of it? Absolutely nothing. The zoo, as a contraption, instead of going forwards, is always going backwards every blessed year. Things are getting more difficult. Our children are dying in the Mediterranean. They are drowning. Our daughters have nobody to marry them because most of our men, our brothers, our uncles, our cousins are in severe difficulties abroad. Some are in jail, some are struggling. Some will have to marry somebody from that very country where they are domiciled to be able to get their papers. Nobody is interested in our sisters back home. And I told Chief Wodo that I cannot go through life like this. I cannot tolerate this any longer. That something must give way. That I have no interest in being the leader of Biafra. I have no interest in politics. All I want is for our people to be free. I explained to him very calmly and with respect. We took pictures, we had lunch, and we went away. But they went behind my back to plan to kill me when I did nothing wrong to them. They came to my house, as we all know, on the 14th of September of last year to kill me and every living being in my house. Now I am in Israel. That is no longer possible. Even the young lady you call Aisha Buhari, I'm older than her, as a matter of fact. Aisha Buhari, the wife of the late Muhammadu Buhari, I am older than her, said that Nnamdi Kanu intimidated the Nigerian army into submission in a speech she made on Monday, I think it was October the 9th, last year, 2017, perhaps fueled by the fact that her husband was dead. She spoke out of turn. It's there for all to see. She actually said that Nnamdi Kanu ran riot because my husband was not in Nigeria. That's what she said. This is supposedly a first lady. That was when they concluded their plans to kill me. I don't know if Britain is involved, but when I return to the UK, we shall find out. Okezie Ikpeazu, Dave Umahi, Niawodo, had their statements prepared for my obituary. They had gone to plan with the traditional rulers of all the other geopolitical zones in the zoo to come down to address their friends on why my death was a good thing for our people. Go through Okezie Ikpeazu's statements. It's all there and self-evidently so. The Ohanaeze Ndị Igbo political class, Southeast governors, used Fulani military apparatus to try and assassinate me in the same way they've been doing, or as they did in Abatumpo, Nishe Enugu, Igwocha, in Aba. All we are asking for is for our freedom. But Igbo men that claim they are politicians brought death to us. When you ask them, but what wrong have we done? They say we are heating up the polity. That's all. We've explained to them time and time again, we want to be free. Perhaps some of you are comfortable being slaves to Fulani people. IPOB is not comfortable and can never ever be comfortable with it. We made it very clear and shall continue to make it very clear that we are not retreating. We cannot surrender. It is either Biafra or we die getting Biafra. Mind you, it was these semi-Igbo politicians that crafted my bail conditions. Some of you do not know. They wanted to cage IPOB the same way they caged MASOP and rendered it useless through financial inducements and military intimidation. Even those that claim they're part of the intelligentsia, when they go to Abuja, they lose their voice. They cannot speak on behalf of our people. They are humiliated day after day for daring to demand what is right for their people. The only time that they have anything tangible to say to us is every 4 years during the time to vote. But come next year, we will tell these corrupt politicians that Biafra land belongs to Biafrans. All we're interested in is freedom, our liberty as a people, equity and fairness. That we will never, ever, ever negotiate away. If indeed, as we know, that IPOB is fighting for all the things that have elucidated above, why is it that Ohanaeze Ndigbo and some Igbo governors would like to have me killed? Why do they want me dead? That is a question for Biafrans to ask them. Only they can explain. Okay, see, Bazo received stolen items from my house by the Zulu military. In due course, all these things will be revealed. My voice is very low, is that correct? Is that what they're saying? Okay. You must bear with us. This is Radio Biafra, please, if you're joining us for the very first time. It is important that you know that we are slightly unorthodox here. We don't do things the way other people do it. We are very, very different, with remarkable results at the end of it. I can assure you of that. I talked about the death of Muhammadu Buhari and the unmasking of Jibril, which obviously didn't go down well with some Fulani people in the government. Sokoto Caliphate and their collaborators in Biafra land felt that the best thing to do is to get rid of me. When I left prison, in case we've forgotten, IPOB successfully checkmated Fulani headsmen. All the activities in Biafra land were paralyzed. I ensured, and I made sure of it. Southeast governors never said anything when Fulani headsmen came and invaded Enugu State. South-South governors never said anything when the entire Delta State were under siege for months at a time before I left prison. When I came out, I ensured that herdsmen activities in Biafra land were reduced to the barest minimum. We met them, we comforted them, and we drove them back. At no time during the Fulani terror herdsmen menace did any governor, including Ohanaeze, invite Fulani soldiers to come and kill somebody. Understand this very carefully. At no time during the entire period of Fulani terrorism and rampage through our land did anybody call for assistance from the military or from Asarok. But the only person to come out to ensure that the stupidity of Fulani herdsmen was brought to an end in Biafra land was targeted by these same people for elimination. Within 4 weeks of leaving Kuje prison, I successfully, through IPOB intelligence and volunteers, stopped over 80% of Fulani terror attacks in our land. The statistics are there. Go and check what was happening in Biafra land before I left prison and what became of Fulani herdsmen once I was out. Southeast governors and Ohanaeze proscribed IPOB under pressure, I hasten to add, from very violent Almajiri youths that asked us to quit the North. Just because of our 30th of May, that was as successful as anything they've ever seen before. Ango Abdullahi, the chief sponsor of all these Almajiri youths, Arewa Consultative Forum, they are the ones now visiting Owerri, and then a certain former freedom fighter, Ango Abdullahi, and Al Mustafa. They said they will bring the war to me. Igbo governors and Ohanaeze were terrified of their masters. They agreed that Nnamdi Kanu should be killed. Not only myself, but my men, my father and my mother, and the rest of my family. Meanwhile, the Fulani herdsmen that came down to Enugu, to Nimbo, to be very precise, to massacre and to pillage, left unscathed, left completely untouched. Nobody touched them. Ohanaeze never issued a statement calling for the arrest and persecution of those people. But they found it expedient to demand for Fulani soldiers to come to Afaruku to kill me and my people. But I said to them that IPOB is here to restore Biafra. No amount of trash talk online, no amount of blackmail, because we are used to it. IPOB is used to it. We are found, we are baptized in the fire of battle from day one. There is nothing that these people say or write about us that phases me. As a matter of fact, if they don't speak ill of me, I get worried. Those that know me know this very well. The only fuel I need to propel this agitation forward is the hatred other people feel for us. I feed off it. And that is where Biafra must come. On two occasions, I was invited to meet Southeast governors. And as Governor Mahi have candidly testified just a few days ago on BBC Igbo, I did nothing wrong. He admitted that Nnamdi Kanu did nothing wrong. I told Igbo governors and Ohanaeze, If you want me to stop the agitation for Biafra, please go to Abuja and get me something. Get me a concession. I will not drop Biafra without a concession from you. And I made it very clear to them that if they want us to be free as a people, all they needed to do at that material point in time is to support me. Then Arewa will have no choice than to accede to our demand, at least parts of it, because it's numerous. But when their ogas from Arewa called them and told them that what I was doing cannot be allowed to continue, they caved in, partly because of their jealousy of the popularity and respect that IPOB commands amongst our people. It was Ohanaeze Ndigbo and Igbo governors that stopped the federal government of the zoo called Nigeria from negotiating with IPOB. Go and ask them. Because they didn't want our people to be free. Never. Therefore, the ban on Ohanaeze Ndigbo, the proscription of Ohanaeze Ndigbo, still stands till tomorrow morning. Any day they meet in public, their meeting will be disrupted. They have proven themselves to be a bunch of bloodsuckers in the pay and control of Arewa North. A shame and a disgrace to the most gifted, enlightened, blessed race in Africa. We are a very special breed. The best of the very best. That is why they hate us. Why do you think they hate us? Because we are very, very special. We make no apologies about that. Our mothers were humiliated in Owerri. Some of you heard it. What did Ohanaeze do? They were laughing and said, "Oh, they went out to protest for the Nnamdi Kanu's whereabouts, and because of that, he serves them right." Some of them were great grandmothers. A very filthy Fulani police officer locked them up because Igbo governors, Ohanaeze Ndigbo, and the so-called Igbo leaders, they all amount to nothing. Zero. Rocha Sokorocha, who is actually a northerner, an Arewa man, supervised the humiliation of our mothers. Ohanaeze Ndigbo and Igbo governors were so terrified of their Fulani masters that they couldn't utter a word of condemnation of such an atrocious act in our own land. Unbelievable. These are the people that want us to regard them as leaders. When they took our mothers, they couldn't do anything about it. It is a leadership of betrayal. Igbo land has been shrunk to only 5 states. The sins of Ohanaeze Ndigbo is too numerous to elucidate just within 2 hours. The 5 southeastern states, due to a combination of treachery, wickedness, and ignorance, abandoned our Igbo kith and kin in Benue, in Delta, in Cross River. Some of you don't know that Igbo community is in Cross River State. In Rivers and parts of Akwa Ibom. Even in Bayelsa. We are all one people, Biafra. One people. We speak different languages and different dialects. We know that. But culturally, socially, politically, from of old, we've remained one people. Biafra is older than the zoo called Nigeria. We all know this. I have nothing against Igbo leaders, and I wish they can repent and change and fight for our people, the same way that IPOB is fighting. We have Ebwema in Imo State, Ebwema in River State. Do you think that other people will allow you to divide their own people like that? They gerrymandered the boundaries. You have Ebwema in Delta, Ebwema in Rivers, Ebwema in Imo. The same family divided. Some say they are South-South. You are answering Anyanwu. I'm answering Anyanwu. One part of Anyanwu is South-South. The other one is Southeast. Unbelievable. Ndoni people. Aniocha. Ika. All the way from Ebwanke, I've said this time and time again. I've preached this very topic on Radio Biafra before. The Ndokwa community. All the way to Opobo. If you go to Opobo and you speak Igbo, somebody there will understand you. And as I'm always fond of saying, Anan gave Okonko to Abia and Imo. The same way that Efik gave Ekpe to the eastern part of Abia State like Arochukwu and the rest. We are all one people. But due to a combination of greed, jealousy, and heaven knows what else, we've allowed these people to come into our land to divide us and to make mockery of everything that once made us a great people. We have indigenous Igbo-speaking people in Kogi State, but no one is talking about them, because all Ohanaeze and the present crop of leadership is concerned with is how to feather their nests, how to make money from the central government, or should I say the federal government, and how to perpetuate themselves and their children in the grace and favor of Arewa North. Chief Ojo Zokalo came to see me in prison in Kuje. I spoke to him. I said to him, are you aware that when I was arrested in 2015/2016, as a result of our blockade of Headbridge, that the likes of IBB and Obasanjo, that's Ibrahim Babangida and Obasanjo, did contemplate giving an Igbo man the presidency of Nigeria? He said yes. I asked him another question. I said, amongst all of you that claim you are Igbo leaders, can you bring out just one person and present that person as a presidential candidate? Should you be given the option? He said no, that they can't agree on who such a person would be. I said, then, do you see my point? That the priority for some of you that say you are our leaders is misplaced. That is why we must go and get Biafra. Because within Biafra, we will not have people, godfathers from the north, telling us what to do. Nobody wants to step down for the other person. I read a few days ago that some Igbo leaders unanimously adopted Atiku. Very interesting. But the same group of people, we are busy castigating Peter Obi. That was very typical of how things are done in the Southeast. And I must say, the entire Biafra land as a whole. Their preoccupation is self-preservation, not the well-being of the people. I remember when I was asked, when I came out, somebody called me and said the presidency wants us to ask you on more than two occasions to put it in writing what your minimum demands are, excluding outright independence for Biafra. Knowing fully well that we're looking for an excuse to tell the international community that I'm as inflexible as Ojukwu, which I've said when I was in detention, I decided to test their sincerity, because I always allow people leeway. I told them that I don't want any monetary payment or financial reward. People must listen very carefully. That I want a devolution back to 1963 constitution, back to the regions, which is essentially Aburi. I told them that I want them to open Igwacha Seaport, Port Harcourt. I asked them to open Calabar Seaport and Warri Seaport. I did this in writing and I gave it to them. I asked them to dredge River Niger, allow direct international flights to Europe and the USA from Enugu, Igwacha and Calabar airports, to have respect for the rule of law by releasing Dasuki and El Zaksaki, to set up an international commission of inquiry to investigate the mass murder of IPOB family members at Onishampo, by Enugu, Igwacha, Omwahi and Asaba. I asked them to remove those extortion centers they call roadblocks across the south, south, and southeast. As I told them also that I want region-based 100% resource control, complete deregulation of the power sector, and the setting up of a proper reconstruction, rehabilitation, and reintegration commission for Biafra, which is essentially south, south, and southeast areas, excluding Edo State. I never heard from them again. That is why we must boycott the elections. That is why IPOB must do everything within its powers to ensure that there is a total lockdown of the entire Biafra land come the presidential election of next year. Somebody was boasting today, I heard, that Victor Mess said on the Denubo radio that Nnamdi Kanu cannot be in Israel and dictate what is going to happen in Biafra land. I want to say this to some of them that may have adopted that very position. I am not IPOB. I do the will of IPOB. IPOB is the people, and the people is IPOB. They must understand this. Our quest for Biafra is part and parcel of a strategy aimed at making sure that things are done properly, how it should be done in a civilized society, which is an utter and complete repudiation of the fraudulent 1999 constitution. Some of you have stopped talking about Leah Shuaibu. Some of you have forgotten that various courts have granted Dasuki bail and is still in jail, in detention, illegal detention. You have people that claim they are senior advocates, people who are professors of law, even the vice president. But Dasuki is still in detention after multiple pronouncements by competent courts of law that he ought to be released. The same applies to Dasuki and the wives. People are jumping up and down talking about elections when there is entrenched impunity, when terrible things are happening to the poor masses. Nobody is bothered about the well-being of those who are suffering. All they seem to care about is how much money they're going to make from the electoral process. May the good Lord have mercy upon us. Southern Kaduna is under siege. The killings in the Middle Belt are continuing unabated. Abuse of judicial process and corrupt judiciary. And all people are concerned about is to vote. Let us vote. This same haste to vote is the reason why a certificateless Buhari, a compound illiterate, emerged in 2015 as your president. They say sometimes that if you want to, you know how well or how backward the country is, look at those they vote into power. The haste to get rid of Jonathan in order for oil deals to be, oil concessions to be renewed, led Obama to whip up this very wild sentiment against Jonathan, peddled by the likes of Bola Ahmed Tinubu. All of you then, jumping up and down now, trying to vote or asking IPOB to call off the boycott, you were there. You knew Buhari had no certificate and therefore no right to become the president. But in your haste to try and make quick money during the campaigns, you got rid of Jonathan and voted into power a man who is as thick as plank, who is now dead, and they replaced him with a complete idiot from Sudan. That is the zoo for you. This same 2018 to 2019, you've come again with your election and voting. Why can't you lance the boil once and for all? Why don't you solve your problems once and for all by boycotting the elections? You return power back to the people. You own the power, you take it back. And then you decide what type of country you want. It's simple common sense. So you don't know they had a revolution in France, in Russia, in USA, that every advanced country in the world at some point said enough is enough. This level of corruption we can no longer tolerate. But because some of you are blacks and Africans, I'm sorry to say, you're not strategic enough in your thinking. So what's about today? Not about tomorrow. Your family, your children, your generations unborn. We are not going to vote because we are too intelligent for that type of nonsense. Some of you may not know this, but we must remind you that IPOB will not vote. And I'm here to justify why we shouldn't vote. First of all, can anybody tell me why Dasuki is still in prison? Why IPOB family members that went out to felicitate with Donald Trump during his inauguration is still in detention? Can anybody tell me why troops are being deployed internally within a country? What for? Do you know the meaning of soldiers and army? Do you know what they are there to do? They are there to defend you from foreign invaders. An army is not meant to be deployed to Bayelsa. We are deploying troops to Abia State. Yeah, that is the job of the police. That is what everybody who went through secondary school was taught. It's just common sense. Why can't things be done properly in the zoo? Because they don't reason properly. And Biafrans cannot be a part of that type of, can I put it? Very shambolic and fraudulent arrangement. Tell me why a judge will say, release El Zakzaki, and he's still in detention. Can somebody please explain that to me? And you claim you are running a democracy. Shame on those of you that want to vote. Shame on this very democracy you claim that you practice. Your fraudulent militaristic 1999 constitution was drawn up by Abdul Salami Abubakar. It is a military constitution. I remember the very respected Paya de Banjo saying, and I think it was last year, that without restructuring, there'll be no election. Remember all of that mantra when it was, all over the place. Even Ohanaeze signed up to it. The leaders of the Middle Belt, Southwest, South, South and Southeast signed up to this document saying if there is no substantive restructuring, there will be no election. They've all forgotten. IPOB is special because we are consistent. We never change. We are the same yesterday, today and forevermore. What happened to no restructuring, no election? Where are you going to get employment from? As a young man or as a young lady, a fresh graduate from a university? Where are you going to work? Do you think Nigeria, as presently constituted, has what it takes or the capacity to absorb all the talents leaving universities every blessed year? Does it concern them? Do you know what it does to society when a sizable chunk of the employable youth are out there unemployed? That would be a lecture for another day. Who stole the money earmarked for Enugu Onitsha Expressway? An Igbo politician stole the money. If you go to Lokpa, I think it's Lokpa, is it Lokpa? Is it? Where do you have all this imagery blocking the road, the express road? Where is it again? After Okigwe, is it Lokpa? It's an eyesore. An eyesore on Igwocha Enugu Expressway. After Okigwe, if you're heading towards Enugu. There wouldn't be some white road not built. The academic field is not level. You have to score 136? If you're from anywhere in the southeast, for you to gain admission into a unity school. If you're from Gombe, you only need to turn up. And some people are asking me to go and vote. Are you sure they are well at home? People are asking people to vote. Is it Gwadi Amabikun? I don't think so. Fulani terrorist headsmen are running amok everywhere, slaughtering and killing people. How many times have you heard them parade a Fulani headsman? How many times have they been taken to court? How many times have they been convicted? How many times, I ask you? Betani Fulefu, born on top of a dustbin somewhere in Lagos. My mama said Abibu, I'm an Indian, I said Abibu. Writing rubbish about IPOB. The education system in the zoo is substandard. Where is the second Niger Bridge? Where is it? Nigeria is so hopeless and useless that they had to go and bring, I don't know how to describe him, that thing from Sudan. As if you're blind, you cannot see. That thing you're looking at, Jibril, does that man look like Buhari to you? Can't you see his fingers? Are all of you that blind and stupid they cannot see? Nigeria is so hopeless that Buhari died. They buried him in Saudi Arabia. They went to Sudan and brought a complete idiot. And put it in Asarok. And Dave Omahi and Southeast governors. What is that tattoo they gave him again? Somewhere from Sudan. That program is coming up next month. I will do it. The unlawful and humiliating detention of our mothers in Owerri. Operation Python Dance, Crocodile Smile everywhere. The incessant and relentless slaughter of the innocent. And you want us to go and vote? Who told you that terrorists vote? Where is it written that terrorists are allowed to vote? I ask you. Dave Omahi and Ohanaeze proscribed IPOB. I want the world to ask them, what did IPOB do to you? I met the governors. Well, I was to return to Enugu on the 22nd of September. They came to kill me on the 14th of September. So if I was rude to them, if they didn't want to listen to me, why would we schedule another meeting? Professor Brian Mwabeza was there. Why would we schedule another meeting for the 22nd? And then they came to kill me on the 14th. Okay, Bazu stupidly said, if we don't kill Nnamdi Kanu, many more Igbos would have died. I have it on tape. At the right time, I will play it. If you're joining us for the very first time, this is Radio Biafra. We don't do things the way others do it. We are very, very different here. We are unorthodox because we do things our own way, not the way others would like us to do it. They have not paid workers for nearly 3 years. This is what is driving me insane about Nigerians. Ndizu, I don't understand them. They've not paid you for 3 years, and because election is round the corner, they've paid you only 8 months' salary, and you want to go and vote. Chineke Menendi Ebere. Lord have mercy. If you go to the Sun newspaper publication, if I can get it, I think it was carried everywhere. Without restructuring, forget 2019 elections. That was the headline. They were quoting the very respected Paayo Adebanjo. Should I repeat what I've just said? Without restructuring, forget 2019 elections. Then what are they talking about? Which elections are these people talking about? No restructuring, no 2019 elections, Southern leaders. And now, today, they are telling us nonsense about going to vote. Dixon, that's the governor of Bayelsa State, and Jonathan, others insist on restructuring before 2019 polls. So all IPOB is trying to do is to help every Nigerian. We are helping them. Of course, we're going towards Biafra, but we're helping every other Nigerian in the process. Stand your ground. Cripple the 2019 elections and you see the type of positive change it will usher into your lives. Look at a certificate forger like Buhari, but INEC allowed him to contest. Do you see what I find crazy about Nigeria? The man forged his certificate. Somehow he was allowed to run and he won. Because Obama was supporting him and most Western powers. You know, they love Fulani people. The most annoying thing about Buhari when he was alive was that he lied about his wealth certificate during the last election. They told the public that his certificate was with the military defense headquarters. That's what they said. But now it's been discovered that there was never a time he even enrolled for examination. But he got into the military and rose to the rank of a major general without basic education. That is Nigeria for you. These are the people you want me to go and vote for. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The Igbo political class and their leadership is the worst thing that ever happened to our people. If you don't know, let me tell you. They are in the peril of Hausa Fulani illiterate rulers. They have brought shame and dishonor to our people. Even word at some time attended a function to represent Abdul Salami Abubakar. Instead of supporting IPOB to set our people free, Southeast governors or Haneza and countless faceless and fake pro-Biafra groups. Fake! Madanoba Kon Abiapolo, the pro-Biafra group. They contribute, I don't know, maybe 1,000 naira. At the end of the process, they'll raise maybe about 5,000 naira. They pay a journalist 4,300. He'll give them change of 700. They'll publish rubbish. And say they are pro-Biafra group. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The reason why we are suffering today, the reason why Fulani soldiers are killing us, the reason why Fulani headsmen are everywhere, is because Arewa is in total control of the damnable Zoological Republic. Complete control. The victim men went to the floor of the House, is it Senate, to demand for an inclusion of an Igbo man or somebody from Southeast in the, is it national, is it a, what was it again? Is it Security Council or whatever it's called? National Security Council. He was literally swept away from the half floor of the Senate. He was pursued outside. Like a rabbit. They can't talk. They are cowards. When Fulani, when they see me, they run. If you tell them Nam the Kanu is coming from here, they'll take another route. I'm going to watching. These caliphate slaves in our land made it possible for them to attack us. Hungry, pro-Biafra groups. When you look at the law, written at lintel level, they start looking for politicians to give them money to buy additional road to complete it. Freedom fighters that know the price of a trip of sand. They are so hungry, they think others are as hungry as they are. You know, we are Radio Biafra, we don't leave any stone unturned. We say it here, in Ekuye Bar. There's no secret. You know me very well. I have no secret. Some idiots left IPOB. They were recruited by DSS, recruited by Ohanaeze, to work against a project ordained by heaven, which is IPOB. When I regained myself a bit after the attack and the injuries I sustained on the 14th of September, I was told that some people were asking after our defense fund. I couldn't help but laugh. I said, is it the same people that were asking, that asked after our transmitter that is now with the DSS? So they want to know where our money is so they can go and tell the zoo government. This is where their money is, so go there, you'll find it and take it from them. They were tormenting me before Animal Rights Initiative. You know, I'm very sensitive that I didn't buy any transmitter. I did a video of that transmitter. Do you know where next I found myself watching that video? Was at DSS custody. They said, this is your transmitter. Now we have it. So I told all these baby saboteurs, I will not tell you. When the time comes, you will know. Ndiyoshi. I will unmask Jibril next month. I will ask this very family, IPOB worldwide, to be forgiving and very tolerant. Those that may have offended you, try and forgive them. But if you offend IPOB, there is no forgiveness. They know that very well. Before I came on air, I was told, you know your status, mind the way you speak. And I said to them, being honest and being truthful never did Donald Trump any harm, neither did it harm Benjamin Netanyahu. I will be truthful. I will speak the truth because I am whiter than white and whiter than snow. Anybody who thinks they can do what I have done, just stand in front of El Rufai and tell him he's a madman as if he will survive it. In Buhari's court, I called him a madman. With only my microphone, they came after me with armored tanks. Now, who is the coward? They said I was tormenting the zoo army and had to go and bring a man from Sudan with the help of Ohanaeze and Igbo governors to kill me, my own people. No amount of distraction or INEC-inspired disqualification of Jubril will suffice. I will destroy the zoo. Because people knowingly allowed or imported a Sudanese. They knew it. It's, it's no longer a fraud. It is the... Oh my goodness, I don't even have the words to qualify it. The worst form of criminality. Do you know why they brought Jubril from Sudan? Some of you read, but you don't study. I read an article written by my very good friend and brother, Fanny Kayode, where he taunted the Fulani Caliphate. He said to them, any Fulani man that goes into Asorok will die prematurely or will be expelled from office prematurely. They said, okay, if that is the case, we are going to show you. So the day Buhari died, 27th of January 2017, they said no. Even Atiku knows Buhari is dead. Ask them, but because they are part and parcel of the same caliphate, the same cabal, they kept quiet. They know. If they come out tomorrow morning and hold Quran in one hand, looking at the sun, and they swear that that man, that thing in Aso Rock, is Buhari, they will die before 12 hours. Before the expiry of 12 hours. They know it very well. They can deceive you, but they can't deceive IPOB. They know what to do. Give us our referendum, I will leave you alone. If you don't give me a referendum, I will tear the zoo to pieces. I've not picked up arms yet. Only microphone. But the truth is very potent, isn't it? If any Igbo man has called me on the phone before and said to me, Nnamdi Kanu, take this to run IPOB, I will not survive till the end of this year. Remember when I used to swear on air that if I do anything wrong in IPOB, if I preach one thing and do another thing, that Chukwu Kabeba should kill me. I've said it before many times. Because they are not like me and they can never be like me. I am whiter than white and whiter than snow. And they know it. I cannot be bought. My mission in life is to restore Biafra, and Biafra will be restored. There is nothing any idiot can do about it. Even those with nuclear weapons. They can't do nothing. Chukwu Kabeba knows. If Biafra doesn't come, he's Almighty God. I will say, we called your name. And you showed me a vision and said Biafra will come. If it doesn't come, I'm only a mere mortal. One day I will die. But your name reigneth forever. So every generation will remember that you went back on your word. And you are God and you don't go back on your word. That's who I am. Those that know me. Talking about the boss, boss one the other day. They said I shouldn't take the public transfer. It doesn't diminish. It doesn't take away anything from me. I am who I am. I've come to serve my people. And you know I love IPOB so much. The very best people on the face of this very earth. The greatest family anybody can belong to. Umu Chineke. The children of light. I will love them always. Till the end of time. Because I know that if there is something like reincarnation, if I come back again, I will be watching again. I will find IPOB. And I will belong to IPOB. Don't despair. The zoo is crumbling. The walls of Jericho is coming apart piece by piece. They know the solution to their problem. Nnamdi Kanu is their problem and the solution is referendum. Give it to me and I leave you alone. You don't give it to me, the zoo will perish and millions with it. I thank you all very much for listening. My deputy the very dependable, very loyal Uchemefo. Uno hino go near mine. Work a cup. He kept IPOB intact. Our writers, those of you that fight enemies every day on social media, all of you, from family writers to Umuchukwu to TBV, all of you that fight every blessed day, ferocious battle, and we have never lost any. We have never lost any battle. He's a fraudster. He's a cheat. He's a scam. And I asked, have you given me one penny before? Oh, you're saying all these things. So I will tell you how we get funding to run the largest mass movement on earth. You are insane. I laugh. And as I said, when I don't see all those things coming from our enemies, I get upset. Because I need it. That's the only thing I need. Once again, I thank all of you for listening. I will come back to you at some time in the future. And until then, may Chukwu Okike Abiyama put him in here in there. Keep, guide, sustain, and keep each and every one of you now and forevermore, I pray. Ise. Ise. He said.